Good evening, one and all. Welcome along. It is season 5, episode 59. And I'm just going to add in our very own Mike.
Hey.
You timed that perfectly, sir. How are things?
I'm just getting in the building. I'm just getting it in there.
These things are perfectly planned. Went to time.
I know. Yeah, it all goes to plan until you obviously your kids decide that they don't want to go to bed. That's all I can say there.
Yeah,
so absolutely. I'm literally like sorting everything out on the fly.
Yes, this is the good thing that we all work together here as a team, so these kinds of things get well looked after. But look, we're here tonight. We're going to talk about pet cats in the upcoming draft. For anyone who's watching in, make sure and drops your comments, drops what your thoughts are. If you're watching on something other than YouTube, jump on to our YouTube channel because you can then comment and interact with us or our Facebook. We can't, unfortunately, get comments in through Twitter. So please try and jump on one of the other two streams. Oh,
I do have some news on that. That apparently they are fixing that. They're doing something or other, so that will start to work.
Nice. Yes. That definitely is going to help. Definitely is. But since last week, Mike, I don't think we've had any news. I think the Tuma Madogan news is old news, isn't it?
Yeah. We've covered that. And so we spoke about that on with Jamie and Craig on Thursday. We covered it. We talked about that, about, you know, the pros and cons of that. I mean, there's not many cons because he's a backup tackle at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So it's helpful. It's helpful.
Yeah. You're not bringing him back to be a starter or it's not going to stop you choosing a certain draft strategy at all, so it's definitely something worth looking out for.
Yeah. I mean, like years back, I'll ask you this, right? We was going through hypotheticals on Thursday. I was saying, let's say for argument's sakes, they don't take a tackle in the first or the second or the third, and they end up to take in a developmental type offensive tackle. Because, like, let's say they go, just to give you an example, because we was talking about how you would feel in certain situations. Now, obviously, if they're not taking a tackle early, it means they've covered themselves in other positions, was my argument. So let's say they've covered running back, linebacker, center, with the first three picks. With their next pick, they take, say, a wide receiver. So now you're on to the compensatory picks, and they take an offensive tackle there, right? It gets to camp, and it turns out that they want to keep Smith in as guard. You've got this new offensive center. He's your rookie center. But then you're going to have Tuma Radoga playing on the tackle, right?
Yeah.
And I was just like, look, in that particular case, I'm going to feel quite happy that we've got, say, Trey Benson, Jackson Powers-Johnson.
Yeah.
You know, like you think about the other players that they would have picked up if they hadn't taken tackle. Adoga Tuma isn't the guy who's going to blow you away. You're not going to be like, you know, point of the attack guy. But what he's not going to do is he's not going to get you killed. He's just going to do enough.
Yeah, he's liable to give up something though.
No, that's what I'm saying. He's not going to get you completely killed like we've had in the past.
He's not Chaz Green. Tackles.
Yeah, exactly. And that was my point. And, like, you know, that, you know, for a few games, like, say, for instance, this developmental offensive tackle that you take. Say he comes along halfway through the season, you decide to plug him. You might be striking on gold. And then Adoga has served his purpose of giving you that runway for that guy, because all the other positions you've then, you know, because if you've left tackle behind, you've got your center, you've got your linebacker, you've got your running back, you've got a wide receiver, you've got these other parts that are going to help bring that offense up. That was my point.
Yeah. Like, I suppose to kind of answer you in that, I mean, if it, I have another question I'll ask you in a minute, but as you say you get Jackson Powers Johnson, you get Edger and Cooper, you get one of Brooks, Benson, or Braylon Allen with your first three picks, say.
Yeah.
Right. That covers you, as you say, at center, running back, linebacker, which are all needs. Mm-hmm. You still have Matt Wiletzko and Asim Richards, who are just sitting there, kind of, we're not sure what the plan is for either of them. And I would imagine if Wiletzko doesn't show much in camp, if Josh Ball doesn't show much in camp, both of those guys are just going to be cut. So I would more tend to lean towards, if you're not getting a guy in the first three rounds, if it doesn't fall to you that way, you need to see what you have in Wiletzko or Asim Richards. And then if not working out through camp, you can turn around and go, right, okay, who is available? Is there a left tackle that's better, who's going to give you more than Chuma Adoga?
Yeah. I'm not saying, like, you know, Adoga, I'd be like completely happy about. It's the same, because it was the same question. Yeah. Like when you turn around and you ask this, you say the same thing about center and you talk about Brock Hoffman. I'm in the same camp there. That if that ends up being the case, I'm not going to be thrilled about the idea, but I'm going to know that Hoffman is going to do enough, just like Adoga, to not get you killed, basically.
Yeah.
It's not going to be great. It's not going to be the best, but it's enough for the time being, you know?
Yeah. And I think the issue I would say is probably with center, you're more likely to pick up a center who could start for you in that fifth, sixth round range. Rather than say an offensive tackle, because offensive tackles are such a premium position, they're more likely to get taken. And it's just stuck in my head right now. But there's a guy out there who I think the Cowboys might look at post-draft if he's still not signed up. It's a guy who's already spent four seasons in Dallas, and it's Connor Williams.
Yeah.
And if he hasn't been picked up, you can turn around and go, right, okay, if I pick up Connor Williams, he spent the last two seasons snapping the ball in Miami. Mm. So he could solve your center problem. If you bring him in, you can go, right, Tyler Smith, you're going out to left tackle. Connor, we're putting you back in left guard. And then you try and figure it out at the center spot, you know? So,
it's
something to watch. And maybe I'm being wishful in my thinking on that. But, you know, there are guys who are there and available. You know, Dalton Reisner is another guy, I think, who's still on the market. And I'm trying to think, is Andres Pete still available, is he?
Ooh, I don't know. I'd have to check on that one. Yeah. I don't have my list of free agents up at the moment.
Well, like,
I've got my draft board up.
There are and will be players available later on after the draft who could be picked up. But the kind of question I had for you, Mike, and like, it's something I don't think we've kind of really talked about this in much detail. Obviously, look, we want to come out of this draft with a center, a tackle, a running back, and an off-ball linebacker. I think that's kind of where we're all at. But I mean, is there any other position that you're looking at the roster and going, geez, we could do with a couple of them? Like, I said this a couple of months ago, I think it was on one of the draft shows, and Kyle kind of came back and said to me, he said, yeah, you're probably fucking right. And that's, you know, do we need an edge? Do we need another cornerback? You've kind of alluded to it. Do we need another wide receiver, you know?
A wide receiver is one, because, like, a wide receiver is one. It is a need. If you believe the wide receiver you're taking is better than Jalen Tolbert, that's what I've said. So if you're going to get one of the earlier round guys, or if you believe that there's a guy as you get into the fifth round who's fallen, who you feel is better than Jalen Tolbert, then that's the guy you need to take. If you get past that, then you can kind of hang slack, because then that means Tolbert's going to be your third guy. Might not work out the way you want it to, but, yeah, you know, that's the way these things go sometimes. But Edge is a big one, mostly because I think Chauncey Golston, he's going to move to the edge position. He really kind of has to under the Zimmer scheme, because Zimmer, he likes his defensive lineman to be big and bulky. Doesn't like to hybrid the position out like what DQ used to do. So with Golston being this guy who's kind of somewhere in between, that's not going to work for Zimmer. So that's going to put Golston to an edge position. If he can do that, I don't know, because the dude's been in the league 3 years, and I think he's only got 4 sacks on his resume. So there's a lot going against him here. So you've got that. You've got, obviously, you've got Sam Williams, who's now going to take a starter role. So we're going to see what he's made of. Because he hasn't really been given a chance. We've seen flashes, but he was kind of like stuck in the rotation system of Dan Quinn. Still got Micah Parsons. So you've kind of got there's your three edges. Tank, I mean, he's long in the tooth, but he plays a very specific role on the Cowboys' edge in terms of the defense. So then you look at the other guys, and they're all unproven names. So you say, edge is a need, especially if, you know, Tank, as I say, is getting long in the tooth. So where does he go from here? He could be coming towards the end. There are other guys who could be leaving after this year. So you say, that's a need. The other one for me, as I say, wide receiver, the other one is cornerback. You know, with no Stephon Gilmore in the mix now, you've got that. And it's a huge need. I actually think that people are sleeping on the fact of cornerback is such a big need. Because they go, we've got guys. Okay. So the guys we've got are Deron Bland, who's in a contract year, so he could be gone. You've got Trayvon Diggs, who, I mean, what are we getting back?
We don't know.
We don't know. And you've got Jordan Lewis, who's on a one-year deal. So effectively, by next season, we could have zero cornerbacks. So
I think Bland is only in his second year. I think he's only gone into his third year.
You could be right.
But just kind of come in on that as well. I think the concern for me is that both Bland and Lewis are slot corners. They're not outside corners. So you don't have that other guy to play on the other side from Trayvon Diggs.
I froze for a moment. My internet is going up and down like a yo-yo. What's funny is I can see my, I've got like a thing that shows you, and it's like a rev counter of how good your speed is, and it's just going right down at the moment, but it's coming back up again. I did miss all of that, but I'm sure you just agree and attest
to
the fact that corners are need.
Yeah, no, absolutely. What I was kind of saying is, what concerns me is we have one boundary corner and two slot corners at the minute.
Very true.
Bland and Lewis, for me, are slot corners, not boundary corners.
Yeah. Look, Bland is definitely a much better in the slot than he is as a boundary. I mean, you know, this is coming from a guy, mind you, the court that made, you know, broke the pick six record.
Yeah.
But still, you know, your point is valid, you know?
And then I suppose, like, there's nothing else really that we need. I mean, could we do with a tight end? Maybe, but it's not pressing. Could we do with a safety? Maybe, but again, it's not really a pressing issue. Yeah. Special teams, we don't need anything there. We have our guys, we're happy with who's there. So, you know, If we come out of this, and I suppose the other question then would be defensive tackle. Do we need another one?
Yeah, there is a chance because of what's going to happen with Osa. Yeah. And we've seen this season that the defensive tackle position, especially very specifically the type of role, that three-tech role that Osa's playing, mm-hmm. was getting paid handsomely this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you think they've reset the market, it's going to reset again next year. Money. So you got to think, the way the Cowboys are being, in their style of being so fiscally tight, you wonder how that's mm-hmm. going to work out for Osa. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I would imagine they're looking at the roster right now and going, okay, who's our backup behind Osa? And they don't really have one right now because they've kind of played around with, as you say, Chauncey Golston. You know, is Junior Fehoko going to be in there in the Mike Zimmer scheme? He's not. He's not a defensive tackle. He's going to be an edge, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't really have anyone. Joe is just saying, Deron Bland will be a free agent in 2027.
Nah, that doesn't sound right.
I think it's 2026, Joe, but look, as I was kind of saying, I don't think it's a contract year for him this year. I think there's definitely two more years left. With
Deron. I'm going on it now. I gotta know now.
But, defensive tackle. Probably, yeah, Joe said we're right.
There we go. That's cool if he's checked.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if it was 1 or 2 years, but
yeah.
Two does sound right.
But, I mean, again, it's...
Yeah, he's a free agent in 2026.
Yeah.
So, problem solved.
Yeah. So, we have Deron Bland for at least two more years.
Yeah.
And we've seen this front office. They're not really a team that's looking to go, you know what, let's try and cash in on the guy. You know, if they want to cash in on someone right now, they should really be looking to cash in on CeeDee Lamb or Micah Parsons. And they're not looking to do that. So, I don't think they're going to look to, you know, cash in on Deron. I was going to say,
because you touched on CD there, I will say though that the news I heard yesterday has changed today, which is good news. The CD has turned around and said, no, I'll be there, is his words.
Yeah. And I think that's something he's, you know, they've never denied that they're going to try and do a deal with CD at any stage. Like we're all frustrated as can be that they haven't extended Dak right now, that they haven't extended CD, that they're not talking to Micah and getting those deals done and freeing up cap space. But, you know, as I kind of said to you yesterday, there's an established pattern here with front office. We know it's more likely these things will get done during the summer, during OTAs, and it will clear up a lot of cap space for the season, which we can carry over into next season, or, you know, back end, push back a bit of money in Dak's contract, in CD's contract, to get space available.
Yeah, I was on another podcast over the weekend, and we was talking about freeing up cap space, and I said that I completely predict that they will do Dak's contract before the season starts.
Yeah.
That is going to be after June. They'll get towards camp. We're going to hear about Dak being extended. That money from the extension, they will then use to sign all their rookies. But I am telling you, that's what they're looking to do. And what they're doing is they're going to have a look then, once Dak's contract is cleared and the extension's done and they've got that relief in the cap, they will then decide what rookies are staying and how much money that free money that they have will get allocated to them.
Yeah.
And then they'll go from there then, free agency and all the rest of it.
Yeah. And I mean, let's not forget there will be a relief available to the Cowboys from 1st June with Michael Gallup being officially off the roster at that point in his 8 or 9 million will become available. So that's kind of your rookie class. It's, you know, as you say, if you extend Dak, that's money you can use to bring in some free agents if there's anyone available, or you're pushing it into next year, into the 2025 cap, where you already have close, what, it's 80, 90 million that's available right now. So you're only going to supplement that number. Okay.
There we are. I'm all done on there. I can have full text. So you know what it's like? I'm because I'm running late, I'm trying to do all the production stuff at the same time. So I'm like, I'm trying to talk and chew gum. So, but all done. But yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. And then, you know, yes, next year there's like over 90 million. I mean, the only scary part of that is that, yeah, they've got all that money, but they've only got like about 30 guys contracted. Yeah. So got a lot of work to do.
Yeah. That's kind of the norm, you know. And if it is the case that they're going to press reset after 2024, you're going to a potential new head coach and you're saying, look, here's 80, 90 million. Mm. You know, we're going to change the way we've done things. We're going to give you a chance to go out. You can either draft your quarterback of the future, you can go out and buy your quarterback of the future, you know. You can get some free agents in. We can make things happen in free agency next year, you know?
Yeah.
But look, what we decided we'd do tonight, Mike, is we decided to talk about some pet cats in the later rounds that people should be keeping an eye on, watching out for. I'm going to blow my own trumpet a little bit, because I think it was around about this time last year we had Brian Broaddus on for a draft show. We managed to get him on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
We spoke about pet cats then, and I mentioned a guy named Puka Nacua to Broaddus. Yeah. And Broaddus goes, yes. And why do you like this guy? And I was saying he catches everything. So let's see if I can hit on one of those guys this year. But I'm going to give it to you. Who's your first pet cat?
All right, my first guy. So if they decide to go the other way and not draft a linebacker in day one and day two, I love the idea. One of my pet cats with their first of their fifth round picks is Jalen Ford from Texas.
Oh, you did that on me already.
I love this kid. I love what he's doing. So, yeah. I mean, okay, in coverage, he needs a little bit of work, right?
Very much so.
He not so much in his abilities, right? It's not so much of a skill issue, because he's got the ability to move around. What he does is, I think he just gets caught. He gets caught just staring into the backfield.
Yeah.
So in scouting, they call it magnetizing. So what they're doing is their eyes get locked onto the quarterback and they can't take their eyes away. So what happens is when they can do that, the quarterbacks can manipulate you by doing certain movements. And that kind of gets him caught out. But he's a heavy guy. He's a thumper. Yeah. And it's like in today's NFL, finding that thumper type linebacker is really, really hard. Like you go through this draft class now, you know, they're all 220, you know, some guys are 230. It's hard to find the guys who are 240, 250, who are that thumping, very old school type, Mike type linebackers that can come down and clog the run, because that's really what the Cowboys are after. Jalen Ford is a guy who represents the closest you can get to that. So he's just over 240 pounds. Hold on, he's 6'3", so that's a good sign. Mm-hmm. And with his size, he just has this very, very quick closing burst to the ball carrying when he's coming downhill. Love that. Yeah. Put that on to your roster and, you know, say we've double dipped on the offensive line. We've got our running back. So we've gone offense heavy early in the first 2 days. Let's start it off by hitting the linebacker position, and we can hit it with Jalen Ford. Perfect. And he slots right in. He's everything that Mike Zimmer looks for in a linebacker.
Yeah. So I went the other way on linebackers. A guy, we've kind of mentioned his name a few times. He's known as the mini Micah Parsons. You know who I'm talking about. Curtis Jacobs out of Penn State.
I do like him. I do like him.
And Curtis is, he's a guy who's kind of dropping quite rapidly down boards at the minute. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if there's medical issues, if there's concerns about his character, but he just seems to be a guy who's gone from early day two, maybe end of the second, to mid day three very quickly. Again, he's a guy who he played, I think he played his first year with Micah. Did pretty well. He's had a few injuries, but I think in 3-4 seasons he's played at Penn State, he's always been an honorable Big Ten mention or better.
Yeah.
So he has ability. You know, he is a sideline to sideline guy, which is what you want in a modern linebacker. As you kind of said with Ford, Ford's a thumper. He's going to come downhill and he's going to hit you and he's going to hit you hard. Whereas with Curtis Jacobs, it's that sideline to sideline kind of coverage ability as a linebacker. You know, as you kind of always allude to it as a kind of go slow till you know type linebacker in his ability to read that game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, well, I was speaking about Curtis Jacobs and, funnily enough, Cedric Gray, who I have both fairly close to, not really, really close. They're about, in terms of position rankings, I've got Cedric Gray is my linebacker 6 and Jacobs is 9. So they are fairly close. I like Jacobs. As you say, mini Micah Parsons. Reason that he's called mini Micah Parsons, not just because of the Penn State thing, but he is a good pass rusher. Like, he's not the issue with it, and obviously we're talking about late round pet cats. So we're not talking about these guys having anything to say elite. And that's Curtis Jacobs. There's nothing on there that's elite. But what he does have that is extremely, extremely good is the way he can bend around the edge. Yeah. Like Micah Parsons. Like Micah Parsons. So one of the things you always want to see with a pass rusher is they're coming around the edge, is to be able to maintain that level of speed. So as they're coming around, if you can keep hold of that speed, you will outdo most offensive linemen. They can't handle if you can keep going, because it's unsustainable for the offensive lineman. Micah Parsons doesn't just sustain it. Weirdly, and I don't know how he does it, he can actually accelerate as he's bending, which is wild. Curtis Jacobs, one of his things, very, very good bend, doesn't accelerate like Micah Parsons, but he's able to maintain that speed very well, and it's very quick. It is very quick.
Yeah.
I wouldn't class it as elite. I'd class it as very quick.
Yeah.
So what he is good as is as a blitzing linebacker, which, ironically, with the Zimmer defense, is something you're going to see. It is going to be that way, because it's going to be, when it comes to the linebacker position, it's going to be more traditional. So you're going to see blitzing from the position. And, it helps with obviously the signing that we've had with Kendricks.
Kendricks,
He can do that.
Yeah.
Damone Clark and DeMarvin. So DeMarvin Overshown has the injury, so big question mark. Damone Clark isn't going to be that guy. He's just not. No. He's not built for that position. He's not built that way. So having a guy like Curtis Jacobs who can do it, makes it schematically makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I mean, as you kind of said, look, Zimmer is a bit more traditional in his play, in that he generally tends to like having, as you say, a Micah, a Sam, and a Will at linebacker. Mm. You know, so if you're starting, it's very obvious that, you know, Kendricks is going to be your Mike. He's going to be the guy who's calling the defense for this year. And that's, you know, that it was worthwhile getting him in the door just for that, just to bed in for a year at least, that Mike Zimmer offense. And it did pee a lot of people off this. It was, I think, was Jaron Curse was calling the defense last year?
I think he had the green dot a few times.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to think who else had it.
I think Hooker had it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a couple of times. I think Parsons did a couple of times too, but he kind of relinquished it because he was just like, I've got too much to think about.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. And look, I'm just going to bring up Joe's comment just to get an opinion on you on this, Mike, because, I mean, I spoke about this in the article myself and Rich and Graham did earlier in the off-season. Joe has said, for anyone that's listening on podcast, with the rumours of Parsons might be traded, we might need to draft a linebacker. And, I mean, there has been talk of potentially trading Mike. It's very light. But what would your own thoughts be on that? Do you think it could happen?
No.
Or is it totally just...
there's no... Like, a team would have to give up way too much.
Yeah.
It would have to be multiple picks. It would have to be players involved.
Yeah.
There's just, like, way too much involved here. Because you're giving away... guy who still has time on his rookie contract, fifth year option. He's multiple Pro Bowler, All Pro. One of the, you know, he finished the league last year number one in total pressures. It's just it's too much. No way. Like, he is too expensive. The other thing is when you look at where, so this is obviously, this is coming from 103 the fan, that this comment like this, and. I'm quite friendly with a couple of guys there. I do like the guy. I got to be, you know, I'll choose my words carefully.
Got to be PC.
Yeah. they are good guys. I like them, okay? There's some really good guys over there. But where this comment came from with 103 is that they're saying it and then you say, okay, what are the sources? And then they won't tell you. Okay, one, I get the reason why they're saying we can't tell you. But number two, if you're not going to say, and you can say, like Joe says, yeah, the rumors come from inside the organization. That's what they're saying. But that could be anybody. So that could be the equipment manager for all we know. And am I going to listen to that? No way. No. Just because some person within the organization who could be anybody,
yeah,
could be some receptionist who has a problem with the fact that Mike has a successful podcast that he runs away from the organization and they have beef with it. And then you can just say it, because I can just say it now, right? I'll just say, okay, no, what the rumors about Micah Parsons aren't true. I have sources within the organizations that say that everything that's been said so far is false. I'm not going to tell you who told me that. But that's what I'm going to do. And I could just leave it there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something that we never talk about in terms of, look, we do have good contacts. We would never actually say anything here on this podcast. If you remember back to two seasons ago, we told everyone Dalton Schultz would not be returning. We never told you how we knew that, but we knew that from basically the start of his final season. And we would never say that because it jeopardizes our relationship with people. So that's, you know, but as you say, like, it could be an equipment manager. I heard something in the hall. This is what I'm hearing, you know. So it's not something I would put huge store in. The Dallas Cowboys create more content for the NFL than probably the next 10 teams combined.
Yeah,
they're always in the news for a reason, and this is just more of them being in the news.
I'm not gonna, like, you know, at the end of the day, these guys and we've been here before with players who have interests outside of the NFL, outside of Dallas Cowboys, and they've had no problem with it. They've got, okay.
Yeah.
Now the fans see it as a distraction. We go, oh, can you just stop doing this? You know, okay. But as the organization, no, because at the end of the day, these are still human beings. They're not They're not robots that are just here to go and play football. They have their own interests. They have their own things that they enjoy. And I think they should be allowed to do these things and do them, providing it doesn't hamper their production. And you can say, does it hamper Micah's production? No, not really. I mean, like I just mentioned, number one in the league in pressures. It's like fifth in total sacks.
Yeah.
And I know what people are going to say. The comeback on this will be, but look at what his production is like in the playoffs. Well, okay. Well, look at the production on the other 51 players in the playoffs. Yeah. They're all the same. Or 52. Yeah. Sorry, that was terrible, man.
And I think that's our good friend Big Chris that's just sent that one in, Mike, is it?
Chris. No, no, it's a different Chris.
It's a different Chris. But Chris is kind of saying, look, drama with the team. Mike Parsons now CDM gonna hold out if a deal don't get done. Which deal do you think will get done? For me, I think it's CD gets done first.
Yeah, it has to be. He's so to me. We got asked this question on Thursday, and I'll ask you this one and everyone at home. It was quite a cool question. Out of the three, which one of these is most important to prioritize to get done? Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, or Micah Parsons?
I would say in the order you've read them. Dak, CeeDee, Micah. There you go.
That's exactly what I said. I was like, this is the order. The reason being, wide receivers are prevalent in the draft every year. There's always a lot of wide receivers. It's a deep class. Pass rushers are kind of like, you know, they can be tricky to find. They're very, very important. Yeah. Dak, because of the position he plays, quarterback, it's really hard to find a starting quarterback. There's not 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL.
They say that every year.
Yeah. But in terms of Chris's question, Team Micah or CD, you know, which deal needs to get done or will get done, CD Lamb first, without a doubt, because of how important he was to the offense last year. I got asked this question last year on another podcast where they said, of all the things you want this offense to be able to do, this was last season, of all the things you want to see this offense be able to, what do you want to do to feel confident? And I said, be able to operate without CD Lamb. And I know this sounds weird, but we funneled so much from CD Lamb that the entire offense revolves around CD Lamb right now.
Yeah.
So the problem is like with this upcoming season, if CD Lamb gets injured, what's the identity of the offense? Where do we go? Where's the option? Because the option is going to be Brandon Cooks, Jalen Tolbert, and at the moment Rico, but whoever this other running back is, and then you've got Jake Ferguson. Well, defense is going to be able to clog that up pretty simply.
Yeah.
So like my issue is that what is the other? So you have to keep CeeDee Lamb. He's extremely important. Because of what he provides. And then you need to find the other options.
Yeah, absolutely. And if we go back to what we were talking about in terms of pet cats, I'm going to give you another option here.
Go on.
A guy who's going to come in here, if you can get him, who's going to be a team captain because he served as a team captain for 4 years where he went to college. This is a guy who came into college as a quarterback, who's taken snaps at wide receiver, but played primarily as a wide receiver. Have you guessed it yet, Mike?
Oh, go on, hit me.
So I'm talking about Jordan Whittington out of Texas.
Okay.
A guy who's an absolute locker room leader. Like Steve Sarkisian has spoken in the last couple of weeks, I'm going to miss Jordan Whittington more than I've missed any player in college football because of his abilities in the locker room. A guy who's... You're not bringing him in to be a superstar. He doesn't have, as you say, he doesn't have those elite traits. He's not going to burn anyone. He's not going to run away from anyone. But what you would like to see from a fifth and a sixth round pick is someone who can come in, someone who can contribute, someone who can give you something extra. And that's what Jordan Whittington, for me, can do. Because he can play, as I say, he can bring you in and give you jet sweep ability. He can come in, he can be a possession receiver. He played a lot of special teams. And that's what you want with your fifth and sixth round picks, is someone that can do a bit of everything and can contribute from the day they come in. And for me, that's a guy in Jordan Whittington who you're going to get. It's not someone who's going to create drama in the locker room because he's not playing every snap. He's just going to come in, do his job, work hard. And that's something you want to see from that, say, fifth or sixth round draft pick.
Mm. Yeah, no, I like that. I like that a lot.
So that was my later round guy. I mean, again, in terms of him, position versatility, high football IQ and intelligence, and you know, it's not someone who is going to have to who you're going to have to learn anything from. He's been there, he's done that. I think, in fact, he was a super senior last year. Because, and this is the reason he's in the fifth and sixth round, there are injury history things there. You know, they've been cleared up, obviously, since the time, because it was early in his career in Texas. But it has knocked him down a few rounds, very much so.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I like that. All right. I'm going to give you my late round guy that I quite like. Mm-hmm. That, you know, I was talking about wide receivers. That yep. if they don't get them early, which makes total sense in this draft, my guy to go for, who I think fits a role quite fantastically in Dallas, mm-hmm. is Rice's slot receiver, Luke McCaffrey.
Oh, yes.
Fifth round guy. Yep. Like, you're hoping he falls out of the fourth, but I think... Yep. The speed, the acceleration. I think he's been slept on a little bit, you know? Because he's got the family pedigree. He's nowhere near as explosive and as quick and as agile as his older brother. But there's some juice there. Acrobatic catcher, you know, catches everything.
Yeah.
You know, he does have good speed. But what I like is that he's a yak guy.
Yeah.
Give him the ball, get him out quick, get him gone. That leaves CD, which is what you want, free to move around, because you're going to have Brandon Cooks on the other side as your deep field burner.
Yeah.
So now CD's free to sort of move around a little bit. And then you imagine if you've got, say, I don't know, you're in a situation where you've got Jake Ferguson on the line, you've got your running back, and then you've got these guys out wide. I just think that that's just a complete it's just a menace to try and figure out as a defense, because there's so much you can do there. There's a lot of chopping and changing that you can move around, because although Luke McCaffrey is a slot guy, he's still 6'1", he's still quite a tall guy. You know, I know the big slot is becoming a big thing, you know, over the last couple of years. I wouldn't call him the big slot, but he's still a big guy. And I just think he's quite a good... I watched him in the Senior Bowl, and he stood out. And I always think that, like these lesser... And I don't mean to be cruel, because I know there's going to be people from Texas watching.
Yeah.
I mean cruel about Rice as a football team. But they are obviously, you know... in one of the lower conferences of the in the group of five, but he when you get those sort of guys and they come up and they play in the Senior Bowl and they shine, then you're kind of like, oh, there's something here, there's something that's being completely missed, that's not translating where he's at in Rice. So and he really did stand out. It's not to say he's this period, because, you know, again, we're talking about day three guys here. And he's a guy who you don't want on deep throws. That's the first thing. Because he struggles to skewer those catches. You know, the tracking's okay. It's not great. And also, if he's going downfield and you ask him to turn around and come back on you on deep passes, though, that's when he drops the ball.
Yeah.
Weirdly, when he's on the intermediate passes and there's a lot going on, and it, there's, you know, he's in the traffic and he's in the trash. That, I mean, just you give him the ball, the guy's gone. He's just he's just toasting everybody. I think that's fantastic. Put that on the Cowboys defense as a late guy. Beautiful. That's where I'm going.
Very good. So we've given you what? We've given you two wide receivers. We've also given you two linebackers. The next spot I'm going to go for is defensive end.
Okay.
And I am looking at a guy who was the Mountain West Defensive Player of the Year. First team All Mountain West in 2023. Team captain in 2023. Have you got it yet?
Hang on.
So I am talking about Mo Camara out of Colorado State.
I do like Mo Camara.
Yeah. So again, Mo Camara is a guy, look, again, as I said with Jordan Whittington, this is a guy who was a super senior. He, team captain, multiple years, great production, great first step. He's coming off a 14 sack season and has great development traits. Like, you're not looking for this guy to come in and be your starting pass rusher right away. No,
he's a designated pass rusher for sure. Yeah.
So, like, that's what you want. You want him in. This is a guy who's going to cause issues for a lot of offensive tackles because he can bend, he can get around them. He has, as we kind of said, he has a repertoire of moves. It's not just one single move that this guy has. He has the ball rush. He has the arm movement skills. So he's not going to be relying on one thing. So he's going to come in here, as you say. It's certain sub packages that you're going to get him in for. It's those, you know, third and long type situations where you can kind of say, right, Mo, go out there, pin your ears back. And your one job is to get the quarterback. That's it.
Yeah. Like, kind of like what they did with Dorrance Armstrong.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, that you could see him in that sort of role. Because my comp for him is Ogbo Okoronkwo. I don't know if you remember him.
Yeah. Yes, I do.
Yeah, fantastic guy, you know, that you want. He's going to fall off tackles quite easily in terms of in the run game. But that's not what you're going to have Camara out for. You're going to have him because he's a lot lighter than the position. And I wrote about him on my Shrine Bowl article because in the Shrine Bowl, the defensive players were kind of like, okay-ish. They struggled a little bit. But Mo Camara stood out. And that to me speaks a lot, you know. And I like what I saw. And I was like, okay, he's just gone up. He's gone up in my list.
Yeah.
I like him a lot.
Yeah. So again, he's a guy you're probably looking at maybe the fifth round pick, but probably the sixth round pick.
Yeah.
To get him in the door.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, I can give you a six-round guy who I really like. Running back. So if you decide to wait right till the end and get to the sixth round, this guy slots perfectly for the Dallas Cowboys, is Marshall's Rasheen Ali.
I saw tape on him last weekend. He sends guys to the shadow world.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's two real major issues that he has to overcome that we can't know. We don't really know much about, is that he had knee injury last year and then he has the bicep injury this year. So there's big question marks on him. But this guy in Shrine Bowl practices, no, Senior Bowl practice it was just like flashing consistently. If you just go and type in Rasheen Ali Senior Bowl on whatever, you're going to see it. And I really, really like him. I mean, like, yeah, okay. He plays with issues, you know, like playing kind of like a little bit too tall, which causes contact balance issues. But everything else is there because the guy is just, I mean, he's explosive. He's quick. You know, I mean, look, the guy is just a powerhouse for mm-hmm. his size. You know, he's not a pure powerhouse. Yeah. The issue I've got is I really wanted Rasheen Ali to be kept a secret. Because I'm seeing some mocks, like full mocks, where he's going like in the fifth or the fourth round, and I'm like, no, don't do this to me, please. Keep him keep him in the middle of day three where the Cowboys can grab a hold of him. Yeah. Because I mean, like, he is really good. I like him. I'm hopeful that they can get to him. But it's just the acceleration with this guy. Yeah. You know? That's what I like. I got my comp for him as Dalvin Cook.
Mm-hmm. I can see that
bursty, quick, just like straight off the mark, comp, you know, because that's what Dalvin Cook was good at until everything set in and, you know, he started to struggle, you know, because that's the one reason why Dalvin Cook has sort of started to struggle as he's got older, is he's just losing that. The one thing that made him elite was his exposure. Yeah. Same thing with Rasheen Ali. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to throw another name in there from the Thundering Herd down in Marshall. This is a guy I think we were due to speak about a couple of weeks ago, but we didn't get a chance to talk about him. So I'm going to get you to talk about him now, and that's offensive tackle Ethan Driscoll.
He's a sneaky one. Yeah, I think we just touched on him, didn't we? Last time, you know. Let's start with my comp. It's Ryan Pope, right?
Yeah.
Just that type of guy. So you know, like that agile, quick footed, light on your feet type offensive tackle. I mean, he's definitely an offensive tackle, is what I would say. You know, when people say about certain measurements with this guy, yeah, okay, I get it. But the dude is like nearly 6'9". Like, you can't have that as an offensive guard. That's ridiculous. No. Good run blocker, very solid, intelligent, cerebral, aware of everything that's going on. And he's a guy who just you see it a few times where they try and get him, doesn't react to stunts at all. Just like you cannot stunt him. You cannot. He just because he's so in the zone and understands what the defense is trying to do. He's seen what you were trying to do before you got there.
Yeah.
So I'm a big fan of him. Like the pass protection side of it all, I mean, like I say, we're talking about guys in day three here. I think, I've given him a seventh round grade.
Yeah.
Mostly because of the pass protection, because it needs a lot of work. It is lackadaisical, is the best way to describe it. And for all his gifts, his size, the issue with his size, it can cause him, because he tries to stay so soft-footed and tries to stay light, it will cause him to be off balance.
Yeah.
That's the biggest problem.
I mean, if you're bringing in Ethan Driscoll, as you say, as a, you know, you're saying a seventh rounder, so he could potentially drop to an undrafted free agent. Does that mean you're kind of saying, right, we're taking the decision now, we've seen enough of Josh Ball, it's not working, we've seen enough of Matt Willetsko, it's not working, we're going to bring this guy in, give him a chance, and let's see how he does in comparison to Asim Richards?
I don't think Driscoll would ever, I don't think he would beat out those guys. He's definitely raw and developmental.
Yeah.
So you've got a long way to go with him.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get that. But there's a baseline for you to work off.
Yeah.
Like the size alone is something, you know, like you can't teach size, unfortunately, you know, no matter what you can do. You know, you can't unfortunately train guys to be bigger and all the rest of it. So that, I think, is the big one with Driscoll.
Yeah.
I don't know how he would fit schematically, but that is hard to say at this stage, because the Cowboys' offensive line, if you ask most people what's the identity of the Cowboys' offensive line right now, everybody just go, I don't know. So, but if you want the blue collar type guy who's going to come in and work every day, that's Driscoll for you.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of alluded to it there in terms of, right, what is the identity of this offensive line?
No idea.
And I mean, if we were to it's not to flip it another way, but if we were to kind of look at it and go, right now, what's your backup plan at the offensive line position? I mean, you're assuming you're going Tyler, TJ Bass, Brock Hoffman, Zach Martin, and Terrence Steele to start. You'd have Adoga, question mark at left guard, question mark at center. Or, you know, maybe you could put Richards in at left guard. You still have a question mark at center. You have a question mark at right guard. And Josh Ball and Matt Wiletzko are just there in the ether.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe, look, it's something they plan to address in this draft class and just go, right, we've a couple of guys here we need to move on from. And let's reestablish our identity.
Yeah, the identity issue with the offensive line is the biggest thing at the moment. Because, like last year, it was a little bit of a mishmash of a couple of things.
Yeah.
But, like, this year, obviously, we lose two key figures. Mm-hmm. And now we're kind of just like, well, what is the identity now going forward?
Yeah.
I mean, the good thing is they're starting from square one. So you can sit there and go, okay, well, let's do it this way and let's become this type of team. So in a way that's helpful. But in terms of when you're trying to ask people then what type of offensive lineman should we get later on in the draft, it's a little bit difficult because you don't know what their plan is and what that identity looks like. So that's why I like Driscoll, but it all depends on, and I do hope in a way that they're able to take him perhaps as a priority undrafted free agent or in the UDFA market. But that's obviously ties in with as long as they have a plan for him.
Yeah. And I mean, that's kind of what we would hope is that we're going, right, if they bring in X player in the first round, if, as you say, they bring in Jackson Powers-Johnson at centre or Graham Barton to play centre, we know, okay, this is where they're moving towards, because you're going to look at having a very strong interior three of Tyler, one of those two guys at centre, and Zach Martin. My concern would be that if you bring in Tyler Guyton or Jordan Morgan, and you're playing them left tackle, is you're missing an identity.
Yeah. They need to establish whatever this line needs to be. Because, I mean, especially when you think trying to be careful, going off conversations, Zach Martin, this could be Zach Martin's last year. Okay, let's do it that way. For a lot of reasons why I'm saying that, but like it's just something you're gonna have to keep an eye on here, because you need to establish that identity, because especially now if you move on from Zach Martin, well, think about that entire offensive line. There's nothing there from the old guard. There's nothing there. They've all gone. Which I think is just madness. It's just wild.
Yeah. And it is a case of right now Zach Martin is doing that John Travolta thing of the only guy in the room. Where is everyone?
Yeah.
You know, just Travis is gone, Tyron's gone, Jeff is gone, Witten's gone. You know, like he's that last link to that 2014-2016 team.
The old school,
where it was run heavy, run first, batter teams into
sad times.
Yeah, it is, absolutely.
And but there you go. So like we're talking there about identity.
Yeah.
You know. Sorry.
Yeah.
Carry on.
No, go on ahead. Go on ahead. I think you might be, you might, your thing might have slipped for a few seconds.
Oh, no, I was just saying that as you were talking about, you know, that old offensive line, and you're describing how it was. Yeah, that there you go. There's an example that they had an identity. And yeah. So that's how everything worked. That's just another example.
Yeah. So unless there's anyone else that you would like to discuss tonight, Mike, I'll throw the reins over to you to bring us home.
I'm quite happy. There's some. I think we've given enough of our pet cats on that one.
Absolutely. So, what is the plan for Thursday night?
Thursday night is going to be trading down. So, what would trading down look like for the Cowboys?
Oh, that is my favorite show of the year. I'm in that boat with Jeff Cav now. I'm Captain Trade Down.
Captain Trade Down.
and I think last comment of the night is definitely going to Joe when he says, can you imagine next year without Zach Martin what our offensive line is going to be?
It will be weird.
It concerns us, Joe. It does concern us. We're not going to lie. But before we get out of here, Mike, I'm going to get you to give the shout out.
Yes, if you're going to a game in 2024, make sure you book it through Cowboys Experience. They have game day tickets, stadium tours, fan rallies, the whole shebang. They will take care of you. And a little added bonus is if you tell them UK Cowboys sent you, you get a little what, Brian?
Chocolate pudding.
Yeah, yes, chocolate pudding and some free stuff.
And some free stuff. Lots of free stuff if you use the promo code. So what that promo code is again, Mike?
UK Cowboys.
UK Cowboys. So there we go. But I'm going to pass it over to Mike as we close out the show. It's a good night from me.
And a good night from him.